Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services. Walker Medical Linen specializes in bed linens, towels, scrubs, and lab coats. Family owned and operated for over 140 years. Find out why hospitals of all sizes, surgery centers, and medical clinics trust Walker Medical Linen. Online at walkermls.com.
Is the band Boston big in the city of Boston, Mike Boddicker?
Nope.
Is it cliche? You're like, oh, Boston. Ugh. Why not?
I don't know. I like their music, though.
That was during the era where you just named your band after where you were from.
Yeah, pretty
Kansas.
Much. Boston.
Did I ever tell
there
you?
There was a band called Missouri also.
Did I ever tell? Really?
Yeah.
Anything
had,
I would have known?
They had like one song.
Cloggers.
It was something. No, it was like a... I can't remember the name of the song. Is that a song? Not as many as Kansas had. But Boston, you know, the dude, he made the whole record, just the whole first record all by himself. He was an engineering student at like MIT or one of those places, and he designed that signature sound, that guitar pedal that makes that, and he did all the music on the first record. Just one dude. And then... they ended up finding the singer. One of those guys passed away, sadly, too early. But I saw Boston in concert, 87.
I like Boston.
At Kemper. Their first two records are incredible.
Their songs all sound the same, but it's a good song, you know?
Yeah, the third record, and that's the tour I saw. They basically played the whole album. I'm like, do we need to hear Amanda?
They knew you were coming.
As you know, they get the new, you know, like Steven always says, we're going to play the hits and then whatever.
I want to give you some new stuff.
Because they had like 1976 and then 77. No. Then they didn't put a record out for like 10 years.
Let me hear
and then
the
they
new
put a record out
first
and
before
I got
you
there.
Play.
And it was like, okay, here's our third record. But they also played the good stuff too. But yeah, it was Boston. I went through a stage where I was like, I don't need any more Boston. But now I couldn't listen to the whole song.
I think I wore that because I stumbled across Boston during my cassette tape days, and I wore that tape out a couple times. I liked it. Yeah, I don't listen to enough Boston now to be tired of it anymore. So I like it. Did I ever tell you the story about my dad and the band Kansas?
Is he good friends with
According
him?
To my dad,
and
I have no way of proving this because
I trust your dad.
I wasn't. Yeah, my dad's not much of a liar.
He's not a liar.
If anything, he's a little too honest sometimes.
That's what I like about him.
That's usually when
you don't like it. Too bad.
When my dad gets in trouble, it's because he's a little too honest about things. But he told me that the day I was born at Stormont Vale Hospital in Topeka, Kansas, lovely Topeka, Kansas, he and his buddy where they were kind of hanging out at the hospital and nothing was going on. So they went out. There was a little like park area right across the street from the hospital. Mm-hmm. And they were just kind of tossing a football around to kill time. And this VW microbus pulls up. And like four dudes, like hippie looking dudes with long hair and beards, jump out of the microbus and go, hey, man, can we play some football with you? And they ended up playing some touch football, 3-on-3. And at one point, my dad's buddy goes, do you realize who these guys are? This is Kansas.
Mm.
And my dad's like, what do you mean Kansas? The band. So they played, and my dad played touch football with the band Kansas.
Did somebody get a violin out real quick and some keyboards?
They're
and
all
start
dust
going?
In the wind at the time, you know? The, so that's my dad's
Missouri
story about
song
Kansas.
Was Moving On.
Oh, yeah.
Song.
Okay.
That was their one song that people knew a little bit. Kansas has several.
Oh, yeah. They were big time.
Big hits.
How are you, Bod?
Good.
Should be a band
you're
called
bringing
Iowa
me back to old memories. I actually got, when I was in college, I went and was over at the Iowa Field Houses. They don't play there anymore, but I was in there doing some stuff for baseball, filling some stuff out, and so Jackson Browne and Lynn Ronstadt were doing concert that night.
Oh, wow.
Really?
So I'm out there watching the guys start setting up, and so I end up go outside and throwing a frisbee with Linda Ronstadt and Jackson Brown.
See, this is just like your dad's story.
Yeah. Were either of them good at throwing a frisbee?
Yeah, both of them were. Yeah.
That's
just
what they did before their concerts.
I don't know,
town
but
they were in.
Yeah.
Did you chat with them at all?
Yeah. Yeah.
Linda Ronstadt was in her prime.
Yes, she was.
Looking good.
Uh-huh. Man, sounding good, looking good. Mm-hmm. Jackson Brown, too. Man, that's big time.
Yeah, Jackson Brown was really good.
So that was before Carver Hawkeye was built? So it was
the old field house. Yeah.
Cool.
And then when
is that building still stand there?
Oh, yeah. They use it for rec center.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then when you were a famous baseball player, you got to hang out with rock stars sometimes, didn't you?
Nah, not that much. Just Chicago. Yeah.
Another Peter band Cetera. Named after City.
Yeah, Chicago.
Chicago.
See?
That was, and you were talking about, you know, the day you were born.
Yeah.
The day Corey was born, I got the call saying I was in Florida at minor league camp. You know, she's going to labor. So I jumped a flight, got up to Chicago, got fogged in overnight. The only two people, it was just me and Muhammad Ali and his entourage. We're stuck in the gate. So I spent all night talking to Muhammad Ali, which was really...
My God.
That was pretty cool, yeah.
Did he talk like, you know, the Muhammad Ali that was on K-Hop?
No.
I'm a bad man.
No.
Was he mellow? What was he like?
Ali's great. Yeah, he was fabulous.
He was my dad's favorite.
Oh, what a great guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brushes with greatness for these people to meet you.
Yeah.
Especially.
Oh, yeah.
I'm here with Mike Boddicker right now. Muhammad Ali told the story for years about how he got to hang out with Mike Boddicker.
87 miles an hour.
Yeah.
I mean, he's getting
out. On a good day.
We got to go the night before first. Because honestly, Bubich, I find myself rooting for him more than the other guys, and part of it is because I want to see a guy who doesn't light up the radar gun go out and prove that you can still be a good pitcher.
You can actually throw your fastball and locate it.
Mm-hmm. He didn't locate any of his pitches.
No, you were talking to Bluma. Yeah. How many pitches you see go right down the middle?
I mean, so when you throw a changeup, for example, where do you want that pitch to usually be?
Well, if it's a left-hander down away.
Okay.
You want it to look like a... But the first
Do you
thing
want you, it up in the strike zone?
No. No. The problem is, the first thing you got to be able to do is throw your fastball to the outside corner.
Okay.
Fastball to the outside corner. Then you throw that changeup that goes to the outside corner and fades.
Drops a little bit.
Yeah.
And until you can establish you can throw that fastball where you want
the other one's not going
to
work.
It's like Heasley a couple games ago. Man, he was dealing. He had that changeup working, changeup. But his fastball was, like, all over the place. Well, the guys kept going, okay. He's not throwing strikes. Why should I even swing? And they sit there and went, walk, walk. It was like, oh, crap. You know, they quit. It was Anaheim. And they quit swinging. It was like, we're not chasing that crap anymore. And it was like, next thing you know, it's walk, walk, boom. Walk, walk, boom. It's like, oh, crap. He's in trouble, major. But you have to be able to establish your fastball and throw it where you want to. They put that box up on the screen on TV all the time. And you see the other guys and other teams going edge, edge, up, down, up, down. They're not
they hit that dead center. Yeah.
They're not.
Yeah.
Even first pitch, where you're trying to get ahead. You cut the plate in halves, inner half, outer half. You're not going right down to shoot. You're trying to catch a bigger part of the plate and then work your way off, on just to the edge and off.
Generally speaking, in baseball, whether it was back in the day or today, fans in Kansas City at this point, they don't blame the player as much as they blame the pitching coach. Everyone wants blood. That's fire, Cal Eldridge, all this stuff.
In your career,
when it comes down to it, you're throwing the pitch. Doesn't matter who your pitching coach is. They can tell you anything. It's just a mental thing at this point. Aren't they basically psychologists at this point to try to get these guys to do the right thing? It's all still up to you to throw the pitch, right?
Yeah. Why can't anybody on this team command
their fastball?
That's a good question.
I mean, right? Like, who in the starting rotation would you say has excellent fastball command?
Grinke.
Yeah.
That's it.
And that's they don't get that's this it. Organization doesn't get any credit for that, right?
No.
I mean, he's had fastball command since well before any of these guys
exactly.
were here, right?
Yeah.
So, what can any does, do? Any of these other guys have what you would call plus fastball command?
No.
And isn't that a failure organizationally? Like, and
I think it is
because it's like okay,
but either you're drafting the wrong kids,
right? That's the question.
But I'm sorry, I watched, you know, Coar and these. I watched some college games. Man, they were pow pow mm-hmm. pow right there. I'm going, wow, okay, good slider. And all of a sudden, we're walking three guys a game in two innings. It's like. You can't walk that many people and get away with it. You can't be all over the place. Just like last night, he wanted. There was a pitch there was right on the edge, but I mean the pitches they were all over the place. I mean it's hard for an umpire to go. And Melendez was running back to the backstop. I was wondering if he was catching any of them because every time I looked up, he was running to the backstop to pick up the ball.
Yeah, that's kind of been a problem, hasn't
Holy
it, by the
cow,
way?
Yeah.
That's been disappointing, his ability Ooh. To
just catch the ball.
To receive
well, he
the
tries
ball.
To pick everything, too. He doesn't block.
Move, yeah.
Well, that's fine with nobody on.
Yeah.
Even though that's a good practice to
habit.
Habit to get into.
Yeah.
He's trying to pick stuff with guys on, and they're just boom, boom. Base to base to base to base. It's like, you do realize that a fly ball now will score that guy from third because
right.
you tried to pick two balls instead of blocking him.
Well, the disappointing part is, you know, they said, this is how we're going to do this. We draft these guys. And Heasley can go in that boat, too. He wasn't picked earlier like the others,
yeah.
but he was a college
yeah,
pitcher.
Yeah, but he was a strike thrower.
He was a college pitcher, and they've got them up here, and he did something
his
in the minor leagues
command.
That was better than the other guys because he was up here starting.
Yeah.
And it hasn't worked out so far, and it was really, really, really bad earlier in the year, and it seems like it's gotten a little bit better, and we have to live through this. This is what it's like, you know. So, you know, overall, Heasley's been
What's gotten better?
Well, I just think of the first 2 weeks of the season when no one had pitched well in any way whatsoever, okay? And Brady Singer's done better than he was because he didn't make the starting rotation, and he got sent to Omaha. So he's done better than he had done. And I think Daniel Lynch has turned it around a smidge. You know, Bubich has just been up and down.
He's rollercoastering big time.
He's not – you can't point the arrow up. I think it's maybe ticked up for Brady, and I think it's maybe ticked up a little
bit
for Lynch.
I was proud of Brady. He's in the ninth inning the other day. He should have finished that game, by the way. Yeah. What Matheny doesn't understand is, as a starting pitcher, a complete game means a lot to you. That means you started and you finished it. That was your game.
That
little infield hit. Come on, you let him finish. He didn't even have 100 pitches. Mm-hmm. You let him finish that off.
Is that 1980s Mike Boddicker talking? Do pitchers anymore even care about that? Are they raised to not care about it?
I'm sorry, you do.
Okay.
Because there's nothing better than coming off, especially on a win. You finish it and you come off and you're shaking everybody's hand right there.
Yeah, the problem with that
was... How many complete games have even been in Major League Baseball this year?
I wouldn't
probably count them on
Royals,
one hand.
The Royals probably haven't had a complete game since I don't know when. You know? But that was the deal the other day because the game was still a game, right? It'd been nice if they'd have scored some runs. I think they would have let him finish. The Royals are trying to... Would it have been better for Brady Singer mentally to be able to finish that game and
yes.
the Royals still lose or for them to think they're going to win a game even though they're 20 games under?
They keep thinking they're going to win games, and they're not. Let's create some positivity here. Let that kid finish that game. You know, that might just be the thing that says, okay, I'm here. Mm-hmm. I got it. We're good. And build his confidence up. Let him finish that thing. I would have. It's your game, Slick. You start it, you finish it.
It just – and I – look.
He didn't even have 100 pitches. I mean, come on.
I don't know where it's going to head. I mean, I never rule out the possibility that these young pitchers all go through some growing pains and then turn it around during this organization with this regime. But right now, like, all we have to go off of what the trend is, and it's almost like their command gets worse. You know, instead of getting better, it's like it's getting worse. And I don't understand why that is.
I don't either. I was telling Marco while you guys were on earlier when I was back in there. The thing, it's weird because back in the day, and then you've probably heard this, if you don't get him by the first few innings, you're not going to get
right,
him.
Right, right.
Now it's,
right.
You know, you're not going to get him the first three, but wait till the fourth because it's going to implode. He's going to go right off that cliff.
Yeah.
I'm going, how is that possible? You should get better.
The game has just changed, I guess, and it's been gradual. I suppose. I think this kind of fits into that soundbite. So we interviewed Tom Glavin yesterday. We're going to play it today. He's going to be at the American Century Golf Championship. He's a really good golfer.
And yeah,
he's a really good baseball pitcher. And this wasn't like the 50s or anything like that, but go look at the number of complete games and starts and all the stuff he did.
He threw over 200 innings 15 times in his big league career.
Yeah.
So
I know that's for you, that's not that much, but no, compared to today.
No, that's really good. I mean, How about
pitching 15 years is pretty good anymore.
You know?
So the question I asked him was, do you like watching baseball, or has the game changed enough to where it's not that much fun for you to watch anymore?
I will say that I don't like what I see. I don't really love the game the way it's being, I guess, managed more than anything else. I don't know that I would say played, because I think the players are a product of how the game is managed. So I don't love that aspect of it. At the same time, I don't want to sound like an old fuddy-duddy, but it's hard not to. I maintain I don't blame the guys nowadays solely for what pitching has become, because they're a product again of their environment. You know, They're being told they can't go seven or eight innings in a game. They're being told they can't flip a lineup for the third time. They're not being allowed to do those things. So in their minds, it's become, man, if I can get through five innings, I've had a really good game. And that's just kind of the way the game has evolved. And you know, the game always evolves. I mean, you know, you talk about all the innings that me and Greg and John pitched. Look at the innings that the generation before us pitched, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, So those guys thought we were soft, right?
Oh, listen, we talk to Mike Boddicker every week on the station. He lives in town, and we hear it all the time. He doesn't understand why guys aren't throwing 150 pitches in games. That's how Boddicker is.
And again, I think it's just a product, right? I was brought up in a five-man rotation, and I was there at the beginning of pitch counts. And that's kind of what I grew up with. And I'm convinced that if I'd have grown up in a four-man rotation, that I could have been just fine.
So that's the question. I mean, are we not expecting what we should expect from pitchers?
He's exactly right. They're a product of what they've been taught and told. I mean, right from the get-go, he's getting close to 100 pitches. Oh, geez, shut him down. It's
third
like,
time through. What are we gonna do?
I don't know if he can. You know, they've seen him twice now. If your stuff's good and you're locating and you're changing speeds, it doesn't matter. Because your stuff's getting better. You're locating even better as the game goes along.
But it's taken a while to get here, too. This didn't happen in 2 minutes.
No.
You know, so that I don't know how to get it back the other way.
I don't know if this analogy works or not, but I like to self-promote that I ran a marathon one time 21 years ago. Mm-hmm. But I think about what I was able to train my body to do. And that seemed running 26.1 miles or 26.2 seemed like an impossibility at the time. I had never run more than 5 miles before, you know, when I started training for it. And you read a book about it, and the book tells you, oh, yeah, you can train your body to do that. And then I remember the first time I tried to go for a 15-mile run, and I failed. I got to, like, 13 miles, and it was 95 degrees outside, and I had to quit. And I thought, man, if I can't go 13, how am I ever going to go?
The book didn't say it was 95. It was the next factor in there.
Like how
it's 72 degrees.
How am I going to make it to 26? And so I had to figure out some ways to deal with the heat, because I was training in the middle of the summer, and I started freezing water bottles and all this other thing. But like, then all of a sudden you realize the next time I went out for that 15-mile run, my body knew what it was getting ready to be asked to do. And it's hard to explain that unless you've gone through, but I remember it was like I went for the run that day and my body was like, yeah, okay, here we go. This is when it knew what it was being asked to do and it was ready for it. And I got to the point where I could run a marathon, and I ran a marathon, you know, and it's like But if you have an analytics person sitting next to you the whole time going, no, the human body's not designed to run more than 15 miles. We got to shut you down. If you ever get to 15, we got to shut you down.
Enough.
You can't go further. You're never going to run 26 miles. And there wouldn't be these hundreds of thousands of people that have run marathons every year in the United States if you just followed the analytics saying, well, that's not what you're really supposed to do. And, like, what Glavin was talking about there about third time through the order, that became a big thing with the analytics because the analytics guys can tell you, on average, every pitcher gets worse the third time through the order. Look at the batting average against. Well, you know what? Maybe for 80% of the pitchers, that's true. But maybe for 20% of the pitchers, the really good ones, if you allow them to do it and you encourage them to do it, those 20%, the guys that are going to be in your starting rotation, can be the guy you just talked. Because you're right. I remember all the time, like Bartolo Colon is one guy that jumps out to me. I remember when he was in his prime and the Royals would face him, they'd get two or three runs on him in the first inning.
And you got nothing.
And it was like, and I remember the announcer saying, you better maximize this inning right here because you ain't getting him the next time. And then, and damned if he didn't go five innings after that and nobody sniffed him.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, to me, there's a little bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy there. Well, the odds say that you can't get three times through the order. But if you tell everybody that and you never give them the chance to, then, yeah, but of course the odds are going to say that because these guys aren't even conditioned to do it.
Part of it, too, is everything they do is max effort, right, from pitch one all the way through. And in order to be able to do that, you have to be able to go a distance. You have to, hey, here's a little sinker. Hit a ground ball. Hopefully it won't go through, but I got guys out there. You know, that's one pitch. Why do I have to throw seven pitches to every hitter? You don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
Quit trying for the strikeout. You go get the strikeout when you need the strikeout. I couldn't throw a ball through that glass right behind you, Lebo, but I have around 1,500 strikeouts in my career. So I was doing something.
Right.
And I learned that from Palmer. You know, I was all jacked up, kind of like Pasquantino was last night. He was, you could tell he was trying so hard. I mean, he wanted to so bad. You could tell he was a little nervous and a little anxious, and that's going to pass. Don't worry about Vinny. But that's how I was when I first cried. And Palmer said, listen, you know, have to go 100% all the time. He said, you're not going to make it if you do. You go get the strikeout when you need it. You go use your best stuff when you need it. Otherwise, get a fly ball. Get a ground ball. Get the out.
Mm-hmm.
And get us in here to hit. It's that simple. And it's all about location and changing speeds. Location change. All these guys can do it except for locate their fastball. They can change your speeds. They got good off-speed stuff, breaking balls. They just can't locate their fastball consistently. And I said the other day, I said, instead of telling what pitch to throw, just in their little headphones there, in their hat, say, locate, repeat, locate, repeat. Just keep going over and over, you know. Yeah. Hey, hypnotize them. I don't care. But be able to throw a fast. They should be able to throw a fastball where they want to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, over a dime eventually after you get good.
That's to Nate's point. Like, you know, when you go run a marathon, you don't go out right out of the gate and try to sprint as far as you can.
No, you can't.
And then walk.
You're not going to make it.
You need to go out there and just pitch and get people out. The goal isn't to get strikeouts. The goal is to get outs.
Exactly.
Get it.
But, you know, it's
the hitters are good. I mean, it's tough. I mean, it's a real cat and mouse
game. Hitters have been good
game
for a long time.
But they, it's just, I don't get the part where, like, you're right, you sit there and you just try to do the same thing over and over again. And you, I got to get like 1.5 strikeouts or per nine or whatever.
And
whatever,
hey,
you got to get. You don't need that.
Look up
outs
on the board. I'm throwing 97, 98 miles an hour. You're not getting anybody out, Slick. It doesn't matter if you're throwing 98 miles an hour if you're not getting anybody out.
I guess the thing that puzzles me, though, is like Bubich has never been a power guy.
No.
He knows he's got to command his pitches.
Right.
He knows he's got to
live. But all of a sudden, you'll see him throw pop a 95 mile an hour fastball. What are you doing? You don't need to do that right now. You need to do that when you need a strikeout, but not now.
He seems like he, mentally, he seems like he's really fighting himself. Like when you watch him, it just like his body language looks like he doesn't have confidence that the that fastball he's throwing is going to be right where he wants it to be.
No.
And I just don't know why is that happening with so many of these guys? And that's the part that I think like I
is that where a pitching coach can
help?
Just
is that a big league pitching coach? Is that a failure through the system that they didn't already come to the big leagues with the ability to do that? Are they regressing when they get to the big leagues for some reason?
Is that box at the bottom say all of the above?
Is that?
I mean, check. And there's issues, and we've known this for a long time, that we don't develop pitchers. What is the reason why we don't develop pitchers? And there's only a handful of clubs out there developing pitchers right now, and everybody's clamoring for their starters.
Right.
So, right. I mean, figure out what they're doing with their starters and get there.
It's frustrating to watch because every time some guy starts to have a little bit of a run where you feel like he's doing well, then like Heasley has an outing like last night, or Bubich has an outing like two nights before. And it's like, I want to get excited about Singer, but then he'll have one of those outings where you just go, man, what happened there? You know, and
the issue is you got to figure out a way to keep yourself and your ball club in the game with a chance to win, even if your stuff's not great, or some days you fight your command. Hey, it's not a science,
right?
You know, and there's some days it just not like your curveball's way too big. I can't control it. I don't know why today. I have no idea. So you have to start making adjustments in game, to make it work, to keep yourself and your club in the game with a chance to win. And we can't make that adjustment in game. It doesn't happen. You don't see it. Last night, Heasley, he didn't get a pitch, and you could just see as he was frustrated, head dropped. I'm going, yeah, you didn't get that pitch. Man, now make another one. Make a better one, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's tough to watch because it's they just can't command the way that you need to. You watch the other pitchers. You watch Gray last night. He's a good pitcher,
mm-hmm.
but you didn't see a lot of balls cut the middle of the plate. He was all over the quadrants and with a good slider, but he located.
Yeah,
made it difficult.
We'll take a break. We'll talk more about this with Mike Bodica right after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Mike Bodica in studio. All right, Marco, you did some research on complete games. When was the last time the Royals had a pitcher throw a complete game?
It was last year with Brady Singer, but it was a 7-innings doubleheader.
Okay.
Oh, that doesn't count.
But then, so 2020, Brad Keller threw one.
Mm-hmm.
Nine innings.
They win?
I did not see if they won or not. I was just checking the individual complete game stats.
If he went nine, the chances are they won.
Yeah. If Brady would have done it Sunday, they wouldn't have.
They want well.
Hey, it happens.
Yeah,
I thought he was a little unlucky in that game. I actually,
sure.
You know, like
they've been a little bit unlucky, but
no, I think in general they've not been unlucky. I think you mentioned
yeah.
it.
Yeah,
they've just
they
been
are.
Ungood.
Yeah. Yeah. They definitely are what they are. There have been some games that was not great that day, but
luck is a big part of baseball from game to game.
Mm-hmm. They weren't, wasn't a good
They're,
day.
They are what they are. They don't score enough. They give up too many runs. They don't field. You know,
yeah, that's the Royals. They've always been able to catch the ball. We've had good fielders.
And they don't have that right now.
No.
They don't.
So, you know, Greinke goes today, and we were just talking about him being the one guy that seems to have fastball command. I mean, when they signed him, I was actually really excited about it because I thought he might be able to teach a lot of these young guys a thing or two, and it's not happening right now.
No, it's not.
They're not picking up some of the things that that he's been putting down. I don't feel like so.
I know they go watch each other throw pens and stuff,
yeah,
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, easier. Maybe well, it's like do. One of those. Hey, do it like me. Well, I can't do it like you. I'm not Zach Greinke. You know. I mean, some people just have. Is it just the touch gene? Is it just the feel?
It's a lot of it's about power and velocity. I would love to see guys back off to 92, 93 and be able to locate. And then go get the 97, 98 when you need it.
But if they've never done that, if they back off, is it that simple that they can still be accurate? You know what I mean? All of a sudden that
you can play catch, can't you?
Yeah.
Well, the other part of it is too, and this is something that Greinke is a different cat. Okay,
he's a different cat. Him and Napier are the two.
He led the league in losses when he was young, but he was working on things. And he would have games where he would just go out, I'm just going to do this. And he didn't really care about the result. These guys, at this point now, I think the Royals organization, if they've done something wrong, whatever, they continue to say we're trying to win. And listen, I want them to win, okay? But sometimes you need to develop. And it's hard, and this is true. They didn't get to develop at the minor leagues for a couple of years because there was a whole year without minor leagues. And it's been messed up, and now there are less minor leagues. And that is a true thing. And I get how you maybe don't want to come play around when you're playing an actual real Major League Baseball game, and you don't want to try to figure stuff out there because then all of a sudden, you know, you're not doing something comfortable, and maybe your ERA is worse than you thought it would be, and then you don't get that next contract. I get all those things.
All I could think of is Chevy Chase. Worse? How can it be any worse?
But that's one of the things that...
We're in the threshold of hell here.
When we're going to play this Tom Glavine for you later, he also led the league in losses.
I know.
When he was a young player.
Yep.
And he said he was so worried that he was going to get sent down. He said every day he looked over his shoulder, they're coming to get me. And eventually during the year... It was before Bobby Cox was even there, and it was his first manager. And they said,
"Who was his first manager?"
I can't. He said the name. I can't remember. But he's like, "You're not going anywhere. We don't have anyone better than you in the minor leagues. You're pitching, so just forget about it."
Yeah.
So I'm sure the Royals have given
Chuck
these guys.
Tanner.
Chuck,
and well,
yes.
No, it was actually it started with Chuck Tanner, then it was Russ Nixon, and
that's
Russ,
who
Nixon,
said.
Was
Russ
the
Nixon,
one.
Yeah.
Russ Nixon was
yeah.
the one that
like
said, 19,
"You're
not going, you're
not
anywhere.
Going anywhere."
That's the name. So, I mean, I'm sure the Royals have told these guys this, but in your head, you're like, "I don't want to come out here and be bad, and then maybe not that you're going to get sent down, but maybe that you won't get the $40 million a year Max Scherzer contract." You know what I mean? They got to put all that crap out of their head and just go pitch and try to get people out. But it's hard, I guess, for a lot of these guys.
A lot of information being pumped into their head, too.
Too much information, probably.
Yeah. And I was telling the guys, even during my World Series game, I would come into the clubhouse, the guys would go out in the field for batting practice and stuff, and I would go into the back room and play missile command until Jimmy Tyler came on. He'd bring my hat and say, "It's time to go."
Mm-hmm.
Never go over any hitters, never go anything. If I commanded and did what I was supposed to do.
Yeah, they don't do it that way anymore for sure.
I mean,
there's meetings about everything. And they
everything.
Know.
We never had a meeting. We never had a meeting until 83, right before the playoffs, Joe Altobelli came in and says, "We're going to have a meeting." And everybody looked at each other, "What happened?" He goes, "I don't know. Everybody else was having. We thought we better have one."
I remember
Eddie Murray goes, "Joe, go back in your office. You know, we're not having a meeting. We don't need this."
I thought this was interesting when we were talking to him about the golf outings that Maddux and Smoltz and
Smoltz
him would
can
have.
Play too. Smoltz's real good.
There was always this. I remember back in those days, people would make these implications about these guys, you know, taking their golf clubs on the road and all this stuff.
Yeah, but when you're putting up the numbers and winning the games they were,
well,
take them.
I think
whatever
that,
you want to do.
And I think that he said to us basically like that was part of the reason we put up the numbers we put up. We got away from the game. We went
exactly.
out and mentally took a break. We, you know, we went out and had some fun. We made sure to give ourselves some time to. Relax and take the load off.
Take it out of your mind.
Yeah, and it's funny to me because, you know, the way sports evolve, I remember talking to guys in previous generations who were like, well, we had jobs in the wintertime. Like, we didn't have a full time. You know, now.
Grain elevator.
Yeah, like now, like you're expected if you're, you know, we talk about Patrick Mahomes is out there in the offseason throwing with the wide receivers and all that. You still do deserve to have some time off. Like, I love the fact that Andy Reid, when the team has a bye week, get out of town.
Get out of town.
We're not practicing. We're not doing anything. You need that break.
That's perfect.
And, you know, I think that sometimes in our society we have this idea that if you're not working all the time, you're not working hard enough. And the truth is your production actually goes up if you give yourself some time for yourself.
That's one of the reasons when I was coaching high school. I want you to play another sport.
Right.
I want you to get away from this.
Right.
You know, I don't want you burned out.
Yeah.
Because kids will burn out. You don't need that.
Need a little time to miss it.
Exactly. You know? Somebody asked me the other day, so what did you do in the off season to get yourself ready for the next year? I said, well, number one, we were putting up 220, 260 innings a year. We rested. It was time for the arm to rest a little bit. And then what did I do? I threw 50-pound bags of cattle feed and shovel grain out of the Quonset.
It's all science now. I mean, that's
what I did. I didn't start. I did not start throwing until a week before spring training. I basically get the adhesions out and let's go. I rested. You know, I didn't throw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just it's tough. I mean, because like you said, when they came in and said, let's have a meeting, everyone's having a meeting. Well, now we've turned into, well, everyone's doing this and everyone's doing this, and we just keep trying to copy. And here's the deal. Someone wins the World Series every year, okay? Doesn't matter if they did it the old way or they do it this way. So someone always wins. But did
whoever's
they win?
Hot at the end.
Did they
close,
win because they had an analytics meeting?
No.
And they shifted or they stole signs or they did whatever or they just do it. So
look at the Cardinals last year, and they were floundering in the last couple of months. They got hotter than a firecracker. Next thing you know, they're in the playoffs. It's whoever's hot at the end.
Yeah, there's no perfect way to do it, but it does. It has evolved into much data, probably, because I don't think all these players need to know every single thing about every. Some of them want
to. It's like last night. I looked, and the guy pulls a card out of his hat behind the thing, and he's looking at it and looking at it, or he shoves it in his pocket. He has it in his pocket, and he looks at it. He throws a pitch exactly where they want to. They got the shift on, ground ball right where the shortstop is supposed to be for a base hit. Something was wrong there because he threw it exactly where he was supposed to. Guy goes out, hits the ball right where the shortstop is supposed to be. He'd be out of the inning, but nope.
Well, I know that the analytics guy would say.
Do they really need a card?
Well,
do they really need a card in their back pocket or
if you need a card or something in your hat, then they've probably made the game too complicated.
You think?
Probably so.
You think? It's not that tough. You'll play the White Sox a series, and then they come here for a series. You can't remember what those guys hit or what they did 3 days ago? You have to have a meeting for that?
You know, here's how I look at that, though. Okay, like Glavin was talking about that. That's what they did during their golf outings. The three of them would sit there and talk about the next team they were getting ready to play.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, how do you pitch this guy? What do you do with that guy?
Yeah.
But you know what what we all used to remember? We all used to be able to do? Memorize people's phone numbers.
And now we can't anymore.
You probably had 100 people's phone numbers you had memorized in your head.
I still got a lot of them
back in those days, right? You knew your home
phone. But they don't have the numbers anymore, so it's useless.
Yeah, you knew your home phone number, you knew grandma's phone, you knew all your
best
friends.
Jim Palmer could tell, as soon as he met me, he goes, let's see, Norway, Iowa, area code. He'd tell me the area code.
He knew the area code,
knew the area code, and he knew the zip code.
You know another thing he used to do? Before you got in the car to go somewhere that you didn't know exactly where it was?
You looked at a map.
You looked up directions and wrote them down and made sure you had the address. Now, you get in your car, you don't even look up the directions before you get in your car, and then as you're getting ready to pull out of your driveway,
you go,
I better type it into my Google Maps or my iMaps or whatever. And you just go where the computer tells you to go. That's the way we change. Like, I don't know anybody's phone number anymore. I know my sister's and my dad's. That's it. I don't know anybody's because it's in the thing here. It's in the computer. I don't have to think about that. I can think about other things. And so what they say, anytime you idiot-proof something, all you really do is create a bigger idiot, right?
Well, that's me.
Right? That's all of us.
That's me.
That's all of us, because they've idiot-proofed the things that we couldn't figure out before to make it easier on us, and then we just become more dependent on the technology. And so if you're a pitcher, you guys had to independently think about the guy that you were facing and read the swings.
We sat and talked baseball.
Yeah.
We'd sat next to each other on the bench when I was in Baltimore. And it was Flanagan, Palmer, McGregor, myself. Dennis was off looking into the stands, Martinez. But it was basically, okay, how would you pitch that guy? And you know.
You think that doesn't happen anymore? Or think it happens less?
I don't think it happens. No, it's all mapped out for him. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember, and I was just a kid, and we were in Seattle, and Alvin Davis was hotter than a firecracker. You could not get Alvin Davis out. And I went, I'm not letting this guy beat me. And so the first time up, I walk him. I pitch around him, and I get Bruner out after him. And I come in, I sat down, McGregor come over and sat down next to me. He goes, you don't have to walk him. Just throw him fastballs up and away. He'll fly out to left. I went, okay, I'm going to try that. Fastball up and away, fly ball left. Fastball up and away, fly ball left. He was 0 for 3 with 3 fly balls to left. I walked him the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I never saw that, but
someone else saw it and they just said, just do
knew,
this.
Mac knew. I mean, he saw his swing. He saw where he was going with it. And it was, you know, that's his stuff. You don't need all that other stuff. You need somebody there to help you that can understand the game.
But if it's being wired into your head, and it's being wired to the catcher.
I don't blame the kids, because this is what they've been conditioned from the time they're
Lavin
little.
Yeah.
They've been told what to throw, how to throw it. And I remember going out to 3-2, Johnson County 3-2, watching a game. Well, we were having a game after this game was going on. I was coaching in the summer, and John Watham was out there scouting for the Royals. He was looking at a catcher, and he was there for 2 innings. And Duke gets up, takes his chair. I said, Duke, where are you going? He goes, kid can't think. They're calling every pitch for him. I don't want a kid that can't think.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what they're doing now. They're calling every pitch for him.
Yeah. And so I find it fascinating to talk to my wife about you've been treated by her as physical therapist.
Yes, she's good. She's hard, but she's good.
And she's firm is what she, you know, she doesn't raise her voice. She doesn't yell at
no,
anybody.
But she makes you work.
But she does that to her interns. I've listened. She tells me all the time about what she does with her interns, and I've tried to think about that when we have interns here. But practicing physical therapy is such a complicated thing, because your ACL injury is different from his.
Exactly.
She always tells me that all the time. I'm like, well, I broke my wrist before. She's like, well, everyone's different.
Everyone's different.
And there's a different set of problems, and so there are some principles.
That's a great analogy for baseball. Everybody's different.
Yeah, and so there's a certain set of principles that you go by, but every situation causes, and by the way, there's 17 possible answers to the question. You could decide to throw a fastball, and somebody else could decide to throw a changeup in the same situation, and it doesn't mean either one's the wrong answer. You know, the outcome could be positive. There's a lot of different answers out there. And so what she does, she always tells me this with her interns will ask, well, what do I do in this situation? And they want you to give them the answer. And she says, I always give them a question. Well, what do you think you should do? And then they will give an
answer
that's kind of a guess.
Make them think.
And then when they give the answer, she goes, okay, well, why was that your answer?
Exactly.
And then they think, well, is that the wrong answer? I'm not saying it's the wrong answer. I just want to know how you came to the conclusion.
Exactly.
Because you got to think through the problem. If you actively think through the problem, then that causes you to consider more things, and then the next time you can go, okay, this is why I did it this way, but then the next time I might want to do it this way. And the thing that's challenging about it, my wife's been practicing physical therapy for 15 years now. She still comes across problems that makes her go, I'm not sure, I got to figure this out, because I'm not sure why this isn't working or that isn't working. And, okay, you might have better outcomes in the short term when you program your catcher and you tell him, because you know more than he does, what should be thrown every time. But what you end up doing is developing somebody who doesn't know how to figure, why am I putting a 1 down right now? Why am I putting a 2 down right now? I don't know, because the manager told me to.
Right. It brings me back again to my old days, where I remember we used to have 3x5 cards. Weaver did. You know, Ted Simmons, can still hit a fastball. That's all it said. Rod Carew, slow as you possibly can throw it. That's what all it said on the cards. And you go through the cards out of the bullpen.
That's analytics.
That's, yeah, that was analytics. But I remember, I can't remember who the guy was, great curveball hitter, great breaking ball hitter, right? And I looked at the card, and I remember when I come in there, Palmer goes, you look at the card? Yeah. It says, great curveball hitter, right? Yep. He hadn't seen your curveball yet. How do you know he can hit your curveball?
Right.
He says he might be able to hit Max or Flanny's or mine. That doesn't mean he can hit your curveball. You got to find that out.
Yeah.
Because that might be the ticket for you, which it exactly was. It was Harold Baines. That's who it was.
Mm-hmm.
I could get Harold Baines that said change-ups. Well, the last two I threw Harold Baines ended up in the bullpen someplace. I ain't throwing him another changeup, you know. But he couldn't hit my curveball. And he was a great curveball hitter. He could not hit my curveball.
Yours was a little bit different than the others.
It was different than the others. Yeah. You can't just sit there and say, okay, this is how it's going to be. This is how it's going to be. You got to do this. You got to do this. No, every guy's different. And it's exactly what you're talking about with your wife. Every person is different. They react different. I heal faster than most people. Some people don't. It's just everybody's different. It's just like the COVID thing. Some people, when they got it, it was deathly, you know. Other people was like, oh, I had a cold.
Yeah.
Everybody's different.
If you treated them all the exact same way, then you'd have bad outcomes. And
You can't. Everybody's different.
It's an imperfect science. And some one day, Harold Baines might not hit your curveball, and then the next day you might have a bad curveball or something, you know. You just never, I mean.
I don't know. I really like.
You never had a bad curveball against him?
Because I knew he couldn't hit it.
Oh, then you're throwing it with confidence.
I'm throwing it with confidence. I'm throwing it where I want to, and I didn't have to worry about it.
Yeah, which I don't know how analytics account for that. Okay, which pitch are you confident in today? Because you're going to
throw
that
all this data in there. They have too much data, probably, is the thing. But
I'm sure that
we had, you know, they talk about the shifts. We had shifts. Dave Kingman came up. Everybody kind of slid over. Dower was right behind. Dower was right behind, almost behind second base, and everybody shifted because Kingman's going
to
pull.
And he wasn't even going to try to do the other
thing. No, he is not going to try and hit the other one. Oh, everybody's like that now. They don't even try. I'm sitting there. They had everybody over on the right field side with Pascantino up. I'm going,
how do you even know? Hadn't been here.
Well, they have the analytics on the minor league guys
now.
I know,
but that's minor leagues, not major leagues.
Yeah, yeah, it's different. I mean, I'm dumbfounded. It used to be like, okay, play him straight up. We'll see what the kid's got.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well,
start him off with a fastball down and away. We see how he reacts.
It's, I don't know. We'll see where the Royals go from here. I mean, they're certainly not the only ones that are using analytics.
The only place to go but up.
Yeah, there are other teams that are using them a lot more than the Royals are, and I'm sure there's analytics people listening to us right now talking about.
Yeah, but they also have some really, really, really good players, the ones that are winning.
In the end, that's my point.
Yeah. Mm.
If you can throw the right pitch or hit the – you have the ability.
You can take those analytics and just ditch them. Put the Yankees out in the field, and guess what's going to happen?
Probably okay.
They're going to kick your butt. So, yeah. It's all about players. That's all it's about. You know, when Houston won it, and all this analytics got, no, they had some studs.
Mm-hmm.
They had a bunch of studs that were going to win no matter what.
Yeah, they also had guys that somehow doubled their spin rate by when they joined the. I don't know.
What's wrong with that?
I'm not saying anything wrong with it. I'm saying that they, you know, there are certain organizations that seem to grab guys and be able to maximize their production, whether they're doing it through analytics or coaching or whatever. And right now,
it ain't happening.
The Royals, it's not happening for the Royals.
It ain't happening.
Right now, it's not.
Marco's mad at us. We're
all right, let's take a break. We'll have Gary Lezak to give us some weather analytics right after this. Can we get some Mr. Blue Sky? Marco, sorry. I'm making requests, Gary Lezak, but I just looked out the window, and all I see is Mr. Blue Sky right now.
If he plays it, I have to sing.
Well,
of
you
course.
Have to sing either
I'm
way.
Out of here.
Oh, boy.
No, Boddicker, I got something to talk to you about, so hang in.
Oh,
hang in there.
Okay. Is this about Penner's blue driveway?
Yes, we have to talk about that. Hold on. You got it, Marco?
There we go.
Here we go.
Gary's always like 2 seconds behind the music, too, so it's good.
ELO.
Yep.
Sunny sky. There's a cloud in sight. Ooh. It stopped raining. Everybody's in the place. Oh, God.
New day. Hey. Running down the avenue.
Okay, that's enough.
The sun shines brightly in the city, Gary.
The coyotes underneath the balcony right. Out here hollering.
What do you have for Boddicker?
No, Mike.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful blue sky.
And just like Penner's driveway.
Okay, you got to tell me. I heard a little bit of a story. Apparently, I'll let you tell the story.
I don't know. Penner's on his hands. I drive by, I stop, say, hey, Penner, you going to say hi? And he's on his hands and knees with a scrub brush and soap on his driveway, scrubbing. I said, what the hell are you doing? He goes, my son, he spilled some blue stuff, and I can't get it off the driveway.
What did he spill?
I have no idea.
Blue
but I
paint
says,
or just...
And his son's sitting back there watching him. I'm going, why isn't he cleaning it up? He goes, well, he mowed the backyard for me. Okay. All right, whatever.
He apparently has this chemical combination underneath. Scotter's, got train sets and stuff, and he had this old chemical stuff, and Jeff goes, you need to get rid of that and throw that away.
So he put it in the driveway?
He thought he'd throw it on the grass or throw it somewhere else.
Oh, Lord.
But he threw it on the driveway, and it stained the driveway.
Yeah, it did, blue.
And then Jeff decided to try to scrub
it out. Yeah, he was on his hands and knees with a scrub brush and soap and scrubbing like crazy.
You didn't get a picture?
No, that was embarrassing enough for him when I stopped and saw him doing that. Yeah.
Maybe this is payback for the time he pushed his son down the driveway in the ice.
Yes, we have.
I'll show you, Dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have video evidence of that one, don't we?
Yep.
Yes, we do. Oh, my. Well, anyway.
Nice day today.
Yeah, beautiful day. It's going to get up to 90, 91 days. So here comes the heat, humidity coming back. No chance of rain. Just a great summer day today. Great summer day tomorrow. And so we're looking at some really good weather. Chance of thunderstorms does return Friday and Saturday. We'll look at that as we get closer.
Late Friday?
Probably Friday night into Saturday. Now, Friday, the front's right here, so it could happen Friday during the day. But then
No.
Why?
Can't have that. I've got fishing plans.
Well, you got fishing plans?
Fishing plans.
Are we going to go fishing, or are we going to go to lunch?
We're supposed to go to lunch, but you got that pulled hamstring, so I don't think that you probably can't
it's
make
95%
it.
95% better.
Uh-huh. Okay. I keep waiting. I told you, you're the busy one. So
I'm wide open in July, all right?
You said that in May. So I'm wide open in June. June's a better time. Now
yeah,
it's
well,
July.
Okay. July's even better.
Sure it is.
Better hop on it before July fills up on him.
Yeah.
I got a staycation in late July, so we'll get to it.
Okay. All right. We'll figure it out.
Mr. Blue Sky, ELO. So it's going to be just fantastic. So anything else, Nate? Anything else going on?
Royals lost.
What's their record?
26 and 47.
21 games below 500.
26 and 47. So you double that. That's 52 and 94. So then they could win four more games. If they go 4-4, that's 56 and 100.
There's so 58 and 104. Is
I smell
right
smoke.
Now.
There's gears grinding and no oil in there.
Here's a question for you, Gary. The Yankees have 54 wins already. When will the Royals win their 54th game?
It sounds like it'll be September 20th.
There you go. So that wouldn't be very good, would it?
No. September 20th. Any other questions?
It'll get better. It's got to get better.
The Chiefs will be 1-0 at that point. So we're getting ready for a Thursday night game, I believe. So that'd be exciting. So
yeah,
anyway.
That's the over-under. Will the Royals win their 54th game before the Chiefs play a game? And that's September 11th. And the answer is no. They'd have to really get...
They're going to do it, Lebo.
All right. I believe you.
No, you don't.
Hey, Bobby Witt Jr. is exciting to watch. You know, we got some exciting players. So.
Yeah, he got a ribby last night.
Yeah,
he seems to seem like he gets one or so a day.
He's having an okay year.
Okay. He's number two in the Rookie of the Year outlook. So I still
think he's going to get real hot before it's over.
Yeah. It's just amazing, some of the things. It's fun to watch that guy play. It's fun. So you got to have something to grab onto, and we've got that to grab onto. That's great. All right, today's high 91. Boddicker, drive by, see if Jeff Penner's working on that spot on the driveway.
Well, no, I'm leaving it alone, Gary. I can't do it. I can't do that to Jeff.
I just couldn't see that again. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, that's quite a scene. All right, have a good day, everyone. Here is Pro Partners Healthcare, Dr. Troy Byrne.
Thanks, Gary. You know, most people are frustrated that they can never reach their doctor when they really need them. That never happens at Pro Partners. If you need easy, direct access to a doctor who knows you and is always available, give Pro Partners a call or check us out on the web at propartnershealthcare.com.
Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.